by Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move. Also by First Baptist Church. And an opportunity to talk politics this morning. Yes, you're right. The election was just in November and new administration just recently, a few weeks in. But we're already looking forward to the next campaign, would you believe it? Congressman Jim Bridenstine is term limited in his seat on the 1st District. He's self-term limited. He's not actually term limited, but he his vow 6 years ago was to 3-year terms and out, what he called going back to the Jefferson philosophy of a citizen legislator. So in to talk to us about his candidacy for the 1st District seat, Andy Coleman. Andy, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Hey, Charlie, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So Congressman Bridenstine, like letting people know, you know, before the election, if you elect me, I will be out in 2 years. You're from Oklahoma, I understand.
Is that my That's where I'm living. I've been working in Bartlesville for about 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. So it's been great. I really enjoyed it. I've been serving with Voice of the Martyrs, a Christian ministry headquartered here that's really doing some neat work around the world, important work on behalf of the persecuted church.
Yeah, we have a daily commentary from Voice of the Martyrs. It'll follow when we're done. Mm-hmm. And then their half-hour Sunday program we carry. So I think we're doing what we can to keep people informed of what Voice of the Martyrs is
That's
doing.
That's great.
Let's talk about Andy. And a question that I try to cover early anytime I talk with someone running for office is, why would you want to go to such a long job interview on a job you may not get?
Well, it's a great question, and it's been one that we've prayed through a lot and thought through a lot. But honestly, I've enjoyed my work with Voice of the Martyrs, working in the Middle East now for these years. Mm-hmm. But it was an injury about a year and a half ago that kind of landed me on the couch. Instead of traveling, instead of managing these projects to help the persecuted church, I was hard down for several months. And during that time, I was watching the campaign coverage. A lot of what I was seeing discussed didn't sit well with me, and that kind of started this seed that continued to grow, and I couldn't shake this idea of wanting to be able to speak into some of these situations and these conversations. So it's not something that I would say I want, in the term want, but it is something that I feel like I need to step out and pursue this role.
Okay, well, we'll talk about getting to know you a little bit more here in just a little bit. But the 1st District, I'm sure even though you have been an international traveler, you have other backgrounds. I understand mm-hmm. military service put you in military intelligence for a while.
That's right. So I went to the U.S. Air Force Academy, planned to do the whole flying thing there. But mm-hmm. when I got there, I discovered how much I enjoyed different avenues of policy. So I studied international relations. I studied political science. I was fascinated by those classes and ended up graduating, working briefly at a national security think tank there in Colorado, and then went on to become an intelligence officer. Yeah. A fascinating job. Served with CENTAF, which mm-hmm. is basically the Air Force component of CENTCOM, so right. their focus is on the Middle East. And that was 27 countries that I was responsible for tracking. So it was a neat gig.
And we'll talk MacDill Air Force Base off the air sometime. Anyway, really background from military service, not that much different from Congressman Bridenstine. He's a pilot, but either way, international affairs, mm-hmm. something that interested you. And the areas of the country that Voice of the Martyrs probably has set you down in, certainly you have some firsthand knowledge of what's going on in parts of the world that many of us will never see.
Well, that's right. And a big, aspect of all of this, of course, when I think of the U.S. government and their responsibilities, a lot of that is security and knowing what's happening on the international stage. And so I kind of have three weird viewpoints on it. I've kind of had the academic perspective studying at the Air Force Academy and even at that national security think tank. Mm-hmm. I kind of have that practitioner perspective from being an intelligence officer focused on these different countries in this corner of the world. And yeah, I have this kind of weird third lens I get to look through just because I have been on the ground in these countries, anywhere from 80 to 100 days every year. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of have a front row seat to seeing the developments there. And anybody that's tracking the headlines knows that it's been a very challenging time for that part of the globe. But also I can kind of see the impact of even American policy decision making. So It's very interesting to me.
Yeah, and then apparently something got under your skin somewhere along the line, and my words, because I haven't asked you about it, but I'm interpreting to say that Andy thinks we can do better.
Yeah, you know, in a few different arenas, I think that's true. I love the idea of long-term thinking. I love the idea of kind of competent stewardship and just managing the resources that we have as a country. But returning to the foreign policy / national security arena, sometimes what I've seen hasn't made a lot of sense. It seems incoherent at times. An example that I've shared in recent weeks is just about Yemen, this tiny little country on the south side of the Arabian Peninsula. You know, we've, as the United States, helped the Saudis in their campaign in Yemen, kind of this proxy war between Sunni and Shia Muslims. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, we dropped off crates full of cash to Iran that made their way to the other side of that conflict with the Houthi rebels. So no kidding, you know, we've been arming and supporting both sides of that conflict. I've been working among the refugee population in the church in Yemen, so I've, you know, that's been my focus, but I've kind of seen this tremendous fallout, and it's just very frustrating. I don't have a ton of hair, but sometimes I'm pulling it out, seeing these things transpire. You know, some of that money that went to Iran, I'm fully convinced, made its way to the Houthi rebels who purchased weapons with it, and some of those weapons were launched at American naval vessels not too long ago. So it just didn't seem wise. I don't think any American policy interest was represented by those decisions. If we had a ally in that equation, I'm not sure that they think they're an ally now. So it's been tough to watch those types of things happen.
Yeah, that part of the world is fluid at best.
Good description.
Yeah, and probably something else at worst, but it certainly bears watching. And it's nice to see someone who, I'll say, has their eyes on the legislative branch, which, in my opinion, should be setting policy, but sometimes it goes to other appointed officials.
Sure, yeah.
You're a family man. I understand you have three youngsters.
I do. I'm happily married, going on 15 years, so I got to give a shout-out to my wife, Liz, for Valentine's Day. But that's right. I have been blessed with three kiddos, ages 13, 7, and 6. So it's not very often that it's quiet at my house, but we have a lot of fun. In fact, this last weekend with the unseasonably warm weather, we get to spend more time outdoors than we expected. So be it hiking or even having a little, you know, fun just going around, it's been good.
Well, so. Sound like it's a great deal. Family discussion around the table. I'm sure this is not a decision that you arrived at in a vacuum. You've talked things over.
Yeah, we've bathed this decision in prayer for months. We've received counsel for months. Processed it as a family for months. It's been a hard decision because working as I have in the Middle East, that required a lot of sensitivity, and it was a very quiet role. A lot of people didn't know what I was doing, and so we took risks as a family. We knew that it wasn't safe to do, but it was amazing ministry work. But this phase that we're on, that we're in right now, it's just different. It has its own risks. I kind of had to lay down that sensitive work by doing this, just stepping out like I am and even having this conversation with you this morning. But yeah, we've had to have some conversations as a family, especially like with my 13-year-old. You know, I just said, the political world is different than this world that we've been in. You may hear some mean things said about me. I can't anticipate that, but we just got to be prepared for that and just be faithful and take our steps. Yeah. So, yeah.
We will continue talking with candidate for the 1st District Oklahoma seat in Congress, Andy Coleman, when we continue in just a moment on 1400 K1.
Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved we will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
And continuing our time this morning on A Community Connection, again talking with announced candidate for the U.S. Congress, Andy Coleman. Andy, I didn't ask this question. It probably needs to be asked somewhere along the line. Political affiliation. I don't want to make any assumption. Tell me.
Yes, so I'm running as a Republican candidate for U.S. House.
That would have been my guess, but I didn't actually ask that question.
Sure.
Background in politics, is it obviously is your first venture for office, but have you been active in any political pursuit before in the background?
Well, you know, I've helped out with things. As a policy guy, I've been an observer for more than two decades. I really enjoy these types of conversations and the practices. When I was in law school, I actually kind of just volunteered on a campaign. It was for Congressman Jim Ryan. I was at the University of Kansas School of Law. And he was running for re-election there. So, you know, I knocked on some doors and attended some events there. So, but that's really the extent of it, is just kind of volunteering here and there and observing and tracking things.
Looking at the most recently completed campaign, all of the candidates involved, well, since the Democrat dropped out, really was the two Republican candidates, but both of them ran what I would consider grassroots campaigns. They were out knocking on doors, making personal contact. Yes, I was fortunate to be able to be the questioner in the only forum between the two candidates, but they both were out doing what I would call traditional grassroots campaigning. Is that going to be your philosophy?
That has to be what I do. I'm just trying, and that's, you know, you alluded to this when we first started the interview, is that this is early. A lot of us are still just recovering from November, but I feel kind of coming out of the shadowy background of ministry that I've been in, I feel like I need every day just to be out there and to just introduce myself, who I am, what I've been doing, and where I land on things. So yes, absolutely. I want to be out there knocking on doors, attending events, introducing myself, having people chuck spears at me and answering questions. Right. So that's absolutely what I'm going to do. It's not complex. It's not sophisticated. But I love this community. I love where we're at. And I want to just be faithful in representing myself, and if I'm elected, I want to be faithful in representing everyone here.
Okay, well, I don't plan on chucking too many spears at you this morning. I want to make sure you've got your shield in hand first, but let's just talk a little bit about your philosophy of government overall as a legislator. Tell me a little bit about, you know, about your view of federal government.
So one of the things that drew me back into law school was concerns about some of the policies that were being implemented back then. A number of them were emanating from legal circles, and it kind of seemed to me that if you wanted to engage a lawyer on policy decisions, you had to kind of send a lawyer to engage. And there at law school, I really dug in, and I think it kind of represents where I view things. I was an officer with the Christian Legal Society. I was an officer with the Federal Society, which is kind of a conservative constitutional organization. I served as a Blackstone Fellow with the Alliance Defense Fund, now known as Alliance Defending Freedom. That's another conservative constitutional legal organization that takes firm stands on issues like the sanctity of life, on religious liberty and other issues. And I guess the way that I would capture all of this is I'm just a constitutional conservative that appreciates the limited government that's enshrined in the U.S. Constitution. I can't help but look at the U.S. Constitution and those that wrote it and walk away just thinking, brilliant. I think it's a brilliant document. I love how it's pitted power and ambition against itself, how it's spliced power both vertically and horizontally there in the federal government and also with the state governments. I love it. I'm very frustrated to see how it's kind of run at a level that I don't think it was ever intended to run at, and it's driven in lanes I don't think it was intended to drive in. So that's frustrating to me. But as a big picture, I'm just a constitutional conservative that's a big fan of the U.S. Constitution.
Since you used that analogy, and I like it, of driving in lanes that it was not designed to drive in, if I'm allowed to carry that analogy further, if you get your hands on the steering wheel, how would you put it back where you feel it belongs?
I think I would just be, you know, and I'm not naive. I know that if I'm successful, I'm going to be one of 435 voices in the House, or you could say one of 535 voices in that building. But I want to be a sensible advocate for kind of a federalist view of the government. I see structurally how things are supposed to operate, and I would try to argue in defense of that. in some ways, that might be being a voice to really kind of return decision making to other areas where it has been improperly centralized in D.C. A great example, I think, is education. I think education decisions are best made in the state or by local governments, where families, where parents can really reach out and engage on these issues and kind of be a little bit in that steering wheel. I think that those decisions are best made closer to home, not in D.C. So in that way, I'd be kind of articulating that view to try to get it back here amongst the families of Oklahoma.
So as a limited government conservative conservative politician, I'm interpreting what I believe is particularly what you just said as paring back the reach of federal agencies in general, maybe
yes.
that one specifically, so that more decision-making authority is centered back at the state and or local school board level.
Absolutely, absolutely. But also there, just even at the federal level, even if we're looking at you know, the responsibilities of government at the federal level, I think even there things can be pared down. Stewardship is near and dear to my heart, faithful stewardship. And I don't think, like when we look at the debt, $20 trillion in debt, I don't see that as faithful stewardship on behalf of our children or our grandchildren. So there's another area where I think more voices are needed to try to bring some sense into that equation.
As a newcomer to the political front, at least as far as running in a candidate as your own right, it takes time, it takes bodies, it takes money to build a campaign.
Yes.
A year out before the campaign, I'll say, begins in earnest, and yet you're out here building it today.
Yes.
What resources do you need people to get interested and ask questions about you and and start getting plugged in with you?
Well, I tell you what, if anybody wants to volunteer or even, you know, contribute the resources that are needed for a campaign, they could visit our website at www.andycoleman.org, or they can follow me on Twitter at andycoleman79. But really, going back to the kind of the types of politics that it's going to take for me just to get my name out there and to be introduced, what I would love is if anybody, they might not even be a fan or really know me right now, but if they would like to host like a small group event or something and just bring me in and introduce myself and allow my, you know, the opportunity to answer those questions that we talked about, I would really welcome those opportunities. Small groups, coffee shops, living rooms, across the district, you know, Washington County, I'd be thrilled by those opportunities. And I wouldn't interpret it as like opening, you know, an open endorsement. But it's just that those steps, those small incremental steps that I take each day to get out there and to at least let people know who I am. Maybe they can put a face to a name, but get a sense for who I am.
Okay. Well, candidate for the 1st Congressional District, running as a Republican, and we've heard our first conversation with him, Andy Coleman. That's our guest this morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1.
Pregnant women as a host. Says he didn't mean to offend anyone. State Representative Justin Humphrey of Lane says he just didn't know a better term to describe.